Well, today is an exciting day, as I said, because of something that is getting ready to start really today as we begin training week for our 28 college youth interns, because about a week from now, we're going to send out the first of 34 mission teams. If you're new here, I want to explain, because you're hearing about it, and that's really what we're focused on today, is what we call our student missions called The Road. And the way it works is that we'll have 325 students finishing fifth grade all the way through finishing 12th grade who are going to go out in these 34 different directions. So we're not booking eight buses and taking 325 people to one place. It's really a very strategic model. And the way it works is groups of 10, all the kids make out applications, and then they're selected and placed on teams of roughly 10 students, along with two college interns, along with two grown-ups that aren't in college, and all roughly 14 are going in all these different directions. And there's a progression that it works through. So when they're youngest, they start by going, as we saw in the video, they go downtown and they just do day trips. They're learning about food ministry and they're sleeping in their own beds at night. And then they sort of build up the muscle, and then they go to Galveston for a week a couple of years later. Then they go to Lubbock. When they're getting ready to go into, when they finished eighth grade. And then they start going to other places in high school all around our nation, Memphis, Arkansas, Boston, and international trips as well, like Honduras, Dominican Republic, London, Botswana. And so it's really a marvelous program. And we thought that to bring a little bit of a new angle, we would have an interview. So I am going to invite two of our own homegrown up here. Would you help me welcome Reagan Bell and William Werline as they come? Hi, guys. All right. So, Reagan, tell us, let's start with you. Who are you? What grade you're in? School? How many journeys you've been on? All that good stuff.
My name is Reagan Bell, and I just finished my sophomore year at Klein High School, and I've been on 5 road journeys, and I will be going on my 6th one this summer.
All right, good, good. Okay, yeah, all right. Now, here's the thing. It's going to be a real long day if we clap after everything they say, because we're going to talk a little while. So, I'm going to give you a chance to clap real big at the end. William, your turn.
My name's William. I just graduated high school, and I'm going to Baylor University next year. Sick 'em. And I've been on 7 road trips, going on my 8th this summer to Arkansas.
Yep, good. All right, so now here's what I've observed over the years, that there's usually one summer that there's kind of this breakthrough where God really meets with a kiddo, and it's like, wow, this one really, something has changed inside of me, right? Reagan, talk about, when was that moment for you?
For me, that journey was definitely Lubbock, which is going into 9th grade. And it was because I remember one day we were going around serving our ministry partners, and we had gotten off schedule. And I'm an organized person.
Me too. I like organization too.
Yeah. If we get off schedule, I'm stressed. Like, it's going to be bad. So I remember we're serving the dinner to the people in the community. And my stress was just like through the roof. It was crazy. And so I walk up to my friend Addie, and she just asks me, Reagan, are you okay? And I like broke down in tears, and I started hyperventilating, and everything blacked out. And so my intern comes and grabs me and takes me away from the crowd, and she calms me down like with breathing exercises. And she tells me, Reagan, you just had a panic attack. And I was like, no way. I don't have anxiety. I've never had a panic attack before. And so she said, it's okay. Just get calm and collected in our room upstairs and then come back down so you can serve. So I went upstairs, and I remember I was looking out the window, and the sun was just beaming through. And I remember looking out the window, and I heard God say, Reagan, it's going to be okay. I'm with you. And that just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, he's with me. And that changed my whole perspective on life and just the way that I view the Lord and even missions as well.
I love it. And so he met you. You were out of your normal context. Things are not organized the way some of us like them. And there's anxiety. And he met you in that in a way that was transformational.
Yeah.
Beautiful. William, what was yours?
Mine was Galveston, going into eighth grade. It was the first time I kind of witnessed poverty, and it was kind of like a culture shock. I was like, oh my gosh, we're not in the suburbs anymore. But going there, that was like a big thing. I started doing what the Bible was actually saying, so asking for wisdom, and then cool things were happening throughout the trip. One thing I remember in particular was my adult leader, Mr. Dylan. Well, it was the entire team. We were eating lunch, and we were having our nice road witches, which if you don't know, it's just two pieces of bread, and then whatever you can find, you kind of just put it in the middle. And so we were passing our road witches around, and our interns were encouraging us to tell our testimony, like how you came to God, how he's using you. And it went around, then it got to me, and I was thinking in my head while everyone else was talking, I was like, I don't really have a story. Like, I grew up in the church. Like, my story's kind of boring. Like, nothing crazy happened. And then it came to me, and I was like, guys, I'm going to do us all a favor. I'll hit pass, move it on to the next guy. But my adult leader, Mr. Dylan, just gave me a really weird, like, stare. And and I was like, oh, I did something wrong. And he said, Willie, I love you, but I don't want you to say that ever again. Your story's important. And people need to hear it. And the angels, they celebrate just as much for you coming to Christ, the same as Paul. Mm-hmm. And that kind of shocked me. It hit me. So leaving that trip, I was like, man, I want to tell my story. I guess it's important, so I'm going to give it a shot and start talking about how God changed my life.
Amen. That's a good word. Good word from Dylan, because those of us who have stories that don't involve a lot of drama sometimes think, I don't really have a great story, but God is in every story. Good word. So I'm going to stay with you, William. You've run the whole deal. You did the hunger journeys. You went to Galveston. You went on up. You've been as far as London, Botswana last summer. So talk about what's the difference, whether you're more closer to home, or whether you're getting on an airplane and you're going thousands of miles. What's the difference?
Biggest difference is honestly the travel time. It's so, going to Botswana, that takes a long time compared to fifth grade going downtown. But I think there's a misconception thinking that there's a lot of differences in whether you're in fifth grade serving or in high school going to another country, right? I think there's more similarities than there are differences, because you're doing the same thing wherever you go. You go on a road trip so that you could serve, right? That's why all of us sign up for road trips. We want to serve, and you do that in different forms. You do it in giving food to people in fifth grade, and then Botswana, you could run a camp for people, but you're serving. So the idea is the same, and God's the same in Houston as he is in London and Botswana, so he's going to show up wherever he is, and he's with us. So I would say there's more similarities than there are differences.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
Very good. Reagan, you gave us a touching story of where God met you on your Lubbock journey. Talk about somebody who's been particularly influential in your life on one of these journeys.
Yeah. So last year I went on Memphis, and one person that has influenced my life and my faith so much is Leah Martin. And she I remember during Memphis, I'd come to her, I think, every single day with a question, a new question, whatever it was. And she'd sit down with me for like an hour And she'd pull out her Bible, and we'd start with prayer and end with prayer, and we'd look into the Word and see what it said about my question. And she would really dive into it with me, and I got to talk with her on so many topics, and even today I'll still go with her with questions because she has so much wisdom that the Lord has provided her with, and she's such a great sister in Christ, and I'm so blessed to have her and have her influence in my life.
Love it. Good story. All right, so let's stay with you. You didn't just meet Leah the day that you all got on the van, or I guess at the airport when you're going to Memphis. You'd been meeting for some period of time. So talk about that whole ramp up for people who are like, so like, what's the progression of how the teams are formed and all of that?
Yeah, so the road season technically starts in January with applications. And all of y'all have filled out an application. And so you fill that out, and then once you get those done, you have reveal day, which is when you get your teams and your leaders and what trip you're on. And so then following that, you have three trainings within the 3 months leading up to July. And so each of these trainings are about 3.5 hours long, and you will be working on what, like, let's say you're planning a VBS. You'll work on planning that, and you have different teams, and you get to just dive in with your team and get to know them more. And then for high schoolers, we have work crew weekend, which is you take a weekend out of your school year to just go and serve at a local camp with your team so that you can grow with them, so you're not just thrown into a team the day of at the airport.
Yeah, and those work crew weekends are I've noticed, a lot of fun.
Yes.
Plenty fun.
Yes.
Yeah, so good. Okay, now how's all this funded?
We write letters. So on one of our trainings, we write at least 20 letters and send them out to people asking for prayer support and financial support, which is a big part of the road.
Yeah, raise your hand if you've ever received one of those letters before. Yeah, I see a lot of hands. All right, so many of you have gotten some of those letters. So you've talked about the outbound side, Reagan. This is what's going on all those months ahead. Teams are bonding, strategizing, divvying up responsibilities. You go on the journey. It's roughly a week long. The longer distance journeys, 2 weeks long. That's a lot of bonding. That's a lot of closeness. You get back, photo, group hug, peace out?
No. So I don't know about you guys, but some of y'all already may have group chats. And after mission trips, like the day after, those group chats are blowing up, like hundreds of text messages. Because you're just with these people for so long and serving with them and bonding with them. And so as soon as you're done, you're like, I want to hang out with them. I want to plan all these different things. And my adult leader from Memphis, his name is John, is still really good about texting in our group chat and just checking in on us and asking for prayer requests and giving us an update on his life. And I know that it brings all of us so much joy to get John's monthly paragraph. Like it is just incredible. And to know that there's someone out there who still cares about us and still wants to know about all the aspects of our lives.
Love it. I want to say something about that. John, who you just saw a photo of, John's not on our paid staff. John works for Bluebell.
Yeah, it's great.
You get free Bluebell when he... Yeah. I'm telling you, part of the wonder of what goes on here is people are taking a week of vacation and saying, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to invest. And even though y'all are fixing to go on a new journey here in a few weeks, different team, different composition. I saw him in the early service, after the early service. But he's still keeping in touch with last year's team. And I love that. And ministering to y'all and encouraging y'all. And okay, now, Will, here's the thing. Football starts. I mean, I kind of know your rhythm. Training camp and band for musicians and school starts. Group chats still blowing up in late August, September?
Not quite. Not quite. Life goes on. And after, at least for me, after a long day of football in school, I'm not really like, let me text my road team. I usually am like wanting to go to bed. But so it slowly kind of diminishes where you would get an occasional text from one of the people like, guys, I miss you so much. And you're like, oh, I miss you. And then everyone's like, oh, I miss you. But it usually dies down when school starts. But I've noticed one thing in coming back is that if you continue to serve your friendships, the relationships that you built on a team, those are going to continue to move. So you're going to continue to build relationships. The first trip I ever went on to Hunger, I was with some of my friends. I wasn't best friends with them, but we came back, we did the trip, and then we came back, and I served in kids ministry with them, and I started building relationship with them, and then we started serving in middle school whenever we got to high school, and the relationship just kept building because we were serving together. So one thing, I know, like, the post-trip or the post-journey blues is always a thing. It's like, man, I wish I could do what I was doing on a trip back here. And the truth is, you can. It's the same God, and he's calling you to the same thing, serving. So even when you get back, we're going to have the new thing this year, new cards. They're going to show where you could have these community events, so like Point Break and then FSM in the morning, and then where you can serve on the back. So if you are in high school serving in middle school you're serving in kids ministry, so you're continuing the relationship that you built so that those friendships will continue to prosper.
Yeah, and don't miss what he was just saying there. There really is a progression that is our kind of our strategy, that the high school students are turning around and volunteering with the middle school. The middle school kids are turning around and they're going into elementary and volunteering there. So there's really a progression that's happening right into adulthood. And so good stuff. All right, so let's see. You mentioned the card. Okay, let's talk about this. You're going across Lubbock, you're going across Texas to Lubbock. It's a long drive. Or you're flying to London, you're flying to Botswana, some other place. That's a lot of time for texting your friends and doom scrolling, right?
No.
No, what?
Nah, man.
Talk about that.
You don't get your phone on your mission trip.
No phone. How do you survive? Poof. All right, talk about that.
Well, it's definitely hard at first. Like, you miss it so much. You're grieving your phone on, like... Oh, I just wish I had it with me. But it's like, that's like on the way there. So on like the bus ride there or the plane there, you're missing your phone. What am I going to do? And then you're like, okay, I guess I'll talk to people. And so having...
Wait. It's come to that.
Oh, I guess I'll talk to my team. It's fine. But you get to, I think that not having your phone is a great opportunity to connect with these people and to serve the Lord and serve the kingdom wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any distractions. You can leave all that drama behind. You can leave all your Instagram followers, all that stuff behind you, and you can focus on the Lord and get growing with your team and growing with God and serving his kingdom unhindered because you do not have a screen in front of your face.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
You ever like when you get back and your mom's like, here's your phone, are you like,
don't give it to me. I don't want it.
I just want to leave it.
It's
a weird feeling because you would think that, oh, Gen Z, when they're presented their phone, they're like, oh, how I've missed you. That's not really how it goes. I'm very reluctant to grab my phone when I go back. Because I think the thing that makes the road special is you don't have your phone. So I know for me, at least, whenever I'm in a crowded place or feeling insecure, don't know anyone, the first thing I'm going to do, if I have my phone, I'm just going to look at my phone. Because that's safe, that's comforting, I don't have to do the scary thing of meeting other people. But when you're on the road, you don't have that. So you're like, you don't have your phone? I don't have my phone. Do you have your phone? No. Let's talk. And then you build relationships, and it's great, like you said, it's like unhindered, just fully pursuing the mission, which is sweet.
That's good. And believe it or not, there's some of us who have been around long enough to where we never did have phones. And so we love seeing your generation learning how to communicate and to connect. And so
Yes. I'm curious for you as a dad. How is it like like letting your kids off to go to a foreign land without like a device?
Oh well, now didn't see that one coming. I'll be honest. That when you were fixing to go to your first international trip, I did pull some of the staff aside and say, it's about this phone policy. I don't know if this is really the best thing. And I probably any of you parents, you know, you want your kids to have a phone, not so they'll doom scroll and text their lives away, although they will, but you want them to have a phone so that you can have life 360 and you can kind of know, okay, he's where he's supposed to be, they're safe, that's good, right? Okay, so I'm not the only one. So we're, you know, just being honest. So that was a little bit of a challenge. I was like, ooh. But better minds prevailed and said, but Ken, you know that this is the reason it works. If you distract the kids with it, the thing's off. It's not going to work. And that's part of how God works. So I got past it. Plus, another parent clued me in and said, just buy some of those Apple tags. So I bought some of those apples. I put one in his backpack.
Without me knowing, might I add, yeah, I pick up my backpack when I'm in Botswana one day, and I just hear a dinging, and I'm like, what is going on?
Well, that's because I was just pressing, I love you. And no, not really. But you figure, yeah, at least I know where his bag is and his backpack, so he's probably somewhere close to both, and so it's the general vicinity. But it is right. And there's one other thing that I should point out. If for newer parents, you'll be on a phone tree. So there's an official phone tree for every team, and there's a phone tree, you know, mom or dad who you get they've landed and everything's going great, and so everybody's like, okay, good, and so in the transitions we're kind of reading about what's going on, and so there's that comfort as well. All right, let's talk about this. William tells a story of something completely unexpected that happened on one of your journeys.
Completely unexpected. On my trip to London, we were going to do street evangelism. So big red box, you stand on it and you preach the gospel. Quite daunting. So I was a little scared going into that. But one day, it was our second day in London, and we rolled out the box, and it was like, we went to Piccadilly Circus. It's a cool name. It's like the Times Square of London. So many people. And we plop the red box down. We start preaching. And then this guy came up next to us, and he started kind of like denouncing everything that we were saying. Like, God isn't real. And I was like, oh, come on, man. Like, this is really unhelpful. And it's like, if there's a, like, dude, like, if there's a loving God, how could he let bad things happen, and saying all these things, and people start, like, clapping and stuff. And I'm like, dang, I feel really, like, spiritually attacked right now. But there's this tall guy. He walked by, and he stopped to listen to the guy, the heckler. And I felt the Spirit nudge me and say, hey, go talk to him. So I went up to him, and I was like, what's up, bro? What do you think about this guy? And not a very good way to start. I don't know. I just started talking. And the Spirit really led the conversation. He was able to talk about his life, talked about how he prayed once and kind of felt peace. And I was able to be like, I know who wants to give you peace, and was able to talk about my story and then share the gospel. And then by the end, I asked, do you want this? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, wait, actually? And and he was like, yeah. So we prayed, and then I gave him the book of John, and then he was like on his way. Never in a million years would have saw that happening. But God
worked. And you got to lead somebody to the Lord. That's pretty, yeah, praise the Lord.
His name's Ralph, by the way. So shout out Ralph if you want to pray for him.
Yeah, pray for Ralph. Bless Ralph wherever he is, Lord. So talk about this. Both of you have been on a lot of teams. What makes a team clunky versus functioning smooth, just humming along, great team?
Yeah, I'll take this one.
Okay.
It's humility. So how humble can...
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, that's really ironic. That was not scripted. That just happened. Okay. That was really funny, wasn't it? Okay, lock in. But it's true. When you're living with people your age for 1 or 2 weeks, it's literally like 4% of your year. So you're with them, and you don't want a clunky team going at each other, right? Because that's our human nature. Just like, you did something bad to me, I'm going to, do something bad to you. But humility really is the posture where God can reach you. And when a team says, all right, here's the last cookie, I'm not gonna eat it. I'm gonna let my friend eat it. The showers are open. Who's gonna go first? I'm not gonna go first. I want him to go first. Right? It's saying, I want your needs over my needs, and I'm willing to sacrifice what I have in order for you to prosper. So when everyone on the team does that, it's like the early church, right in Acts. They have everything they need, but to the people, the Christians that didn't have what they needed, the other Christians would fill that need. So that's what we do on the road. That makes a team very smooth.
Yeah.
A clunky team is full of prideful people, and I pray that doesn't happen. Yeah. So students, listen, pride's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Confession time, too. My bad.
Anything to add to that, Reagan?
Yeah, I think that was really good. Yeah.
It sometimes it happens real quick. Sometimes it takes a few days.
It usually takes a couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But when everybody starts to realize, oh, this is really going to work better if I don't make it all about me, and everybody takes the posture of Jesus, the towel, the basin, serving, humble. That's when it works. Reagan, they're sitting over here are some 11-year-olds who are fixing to go on their first journey. You did that years ago. What would you say to them?
Well, hey, everybody. How's it going? Well, first off, in Isaiah 41:10, it says, do not be afraid, for I'm with you. And that is my encouragement to you guys, is do not be afraid. Because I know it can be this big thing to go out and get out of your comfort zone and talk to people and pray for people. But trust me when I tell you, it is life-changing. And the Lord goes before you in all of these moments. He's already there, and he will meet you there. And if you think about it in this perspective, the Lord has had this journey planned out for you since before the creation of the world. He knew you were going to be on Lubbock 2 since before he flung the planets into orbit. And so I just want to let you know that you were meant to be on this journey and that God has such a big plan, such a big purpose for you, and I cannot wait to see what it is. So I encourage you, do not be afraid, because the Lord is your peace and he is your protector, and he's fun too. Like, you're going to have fun. Trust me.
Amen.
So you got this, and I cannot wait to see where God takes you this summer.
Amen. Good word. Give her a hand for that. Yeah, that was good. William, there are any number of adults who might be like John from Bluebell, who were like, you know, I might have an interest, and I might even be feeling the nudge of the Holy Spirit to say, you should reach out and have a conversation about maybe being an adult volunteer for next summer. What would you say to that adult?
If you feel the Spirit nudging you to lead a trip, do it. Because on every single trip that I've been on, and I've talked to my friends about this and my teammates, we listen to adults. Like, I think there is a misconception, sometimes it's true, that, Gen Z, we don't listen to adults. It's not true. We're like sponges. Like, we soak up every word that you say. And you might not think that, oh, man, I have the wisdom to speak into 10 kids about God. It's not your wisdom. It's God's wisdom. So when you put yourself in a position saying, I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to take a week or two out of my summer, willing to serve students. We see that as students, and we admire it. And then whatever you say, it's powerful, and it still affects me. Every word that I hear from my adults, I'm like, man, they care about me because they're choosing to spend time with me. They're choosing to do this. Like, they didn't have to be here. So any word that they say is impactful. So if you feel that call, do it, because we need you, and we really want adults. So
yeah, amen. Good. And there's a QR code. Jump in if you would like to have a conversation about that. All right, let's see. We're coming to the end. Final thoughts? Any closing, anything else you want people to know about the road, Reagan?
The road is so fun. Like, there's serving is so fun, and it's just such a great opportunity to learn to love serving. And to love serving is to love the kingdom, and to love the kingdom is to seek the kingdom, and to seek the kingdom is to love the Lord and serve him. And so through that, the road really sparks a love for serving and a love for the Lord, and I can't wait to see what he does through these journeys this summer.
Amen. He's going to do it. William.
Last thoughts. Fifth graders, I found my best friends going on the hunger trip. So be encouraged with that. There's some friends that are going to meet you. Seventh grade going into eighth grade on Galveston. I don't know where the Galveston people are. But, oh, what's up, Galveston? Heck yeah. Let's go. That's where my life changed. That's why I started taking faith seriously. So don't think you're too young to start taking a step of faith. So go all out. In high school, I experienced Ralph. I was able to step out of my comfort zone in ways that I wouldn't have ever done that. So do it. Step out in faith and see what God does, because he's always going to show up. When you put yourself in a form of the servant, Jesus, our great servant, is going to meet you. So in a sentence, I would say the road is an impactful time where I can place myself in, where I could be on my knees serving people, and God shows up and meets me.
Every time.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, give these two a big hand. That was good, wasn't it? Thank you. Thank you. Good job. All right, good job. Go sit down. I want to say a couple things, and then I'm going to have all the students come up, and we're going to pray for them before we dismiss. I mentioned, or I think Reagan mentioned, the letters that many of you have probably sitting on your desk. Maybe you haven't responded yet. If you got one of those, would you consider going ahead and sending back your 25 or 50 or 100 bucks or whatever it is that God's telling you to do? Because everybody's got to raise their amount. The journeys start in the low hundreds when they're staying local, and then they get up. They're pretty pricey. They get up to about $4,000, and that's not even the full price. The church is subsidizing all of the journeys to try to keep them in the realm of possibility. And then I want to make a personal ask to everybody here. Especially maybe if your kids are grown and you're like, you know, this is great. I need your help right now. And here's why. Because everybody sends out their 20 letters, and it, you know, life works on relational circles. And so some of the kids, they raise their funds real easily. It just comes in. Others, they're trying so hard and they just can't quite raise their amount. And that's where we're going to come in, because we don't want finances to preclude anybody from going. There's always a delta. There's always a gap. It's several tens of thousands. And I'm going to ask you to step in at this moment. Would you grab the QR code and say, you know what, I could do an extra $100 or $1,000 or maybe $5,000 if the Lord would nudge you to do that. Just one more little detail about that. You just can say, if this is for a certain kiddo, you can list their name. If you say it's just for general, then it'll go to whoever needs that. So if you would do that, we'll be so appreciative. Now, I'm going to ask all of the students, would you all come up so they can see you? And we're going to pray over you all before you get ready to go. And mind you, this is only half, because the other half came in at the early service. But we think this is an important moment where the congregation, we can pray over and celebrate these kids and 28 college interns and about 70 adults giving up time to make all this happen, not to mention our full-time staff as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I also want to say one more thing. These people right underneath me are our fifth graders. And I have a responsibility to get them out of this building before you all clog the aisles in just a moment once I've prayed. And so I need you to stay put, because I've got to get them back over to the kids' building where their parents pick them up. And so I'm going to ask you to give me about 20 seconds, 30 seconds to get them out, and then we'll dismiss. Come on, y'all, hop up. All right. Let's hold up hands and let's pray blessings over these young men and women. Lord, thank you for each of them, for those who are going their first time. They finished fifth grade here this week and they're fixing to go out. Lord, won't you make it great then moving on up to the Galveston, to the Lubbock, to the stateside cities, to the international cities. You always show up every single time, Lord, and we give you the glory for that. And we're praying that you'll do it again. First, won't you give them safety in their comings, in their goings? Secondly, Lord, won't you give them spiritual breakthroughs, moments like we just got to hear several of? Won't you bless moms and dads, especially first times, and we always are wondering, are they doing okay, and are they safe, and help us to grow in our faith as well, trusting the process and the great partners that we have in all of the locations, the sites, partners that are receiving our kids that we've worked with for years that are so good. So, Lord, we're just praying for you to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine this summer, and we're saying it praying it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. All right, big hand for everybody. You guys, go. Fifth grade, go. All right, let's get the fifth graders out. You guys move fast. I got to get you back in that building before everybody clogs up. By the way, I'm supposed to show you some of the road gear. So we got water bottles. They're out there in the atrium, and all the proceeds go to support the, and even hats. Okay, so you can get a hat. They got blankets. They got other stuff as well, so you can go and do that. Also, we have a thing that we call Adopt an Intern. I think we're going to call it Bless an Intern in the future. The idea is we don't need you to do room and board. They already have all of that. But we would love for you to bless them, make them a little gift package, because we have college interns and they work hard. Y'all, they come back from a trip on Saturday afternoon, they wash their clothes, and they're back out on the road Sunday mornings with the new team. So it's a hard work. So we like to have little gift packages along the way in the summer. How about you adopt an intern? You can do that out of the atrium, either atrium. Whether you're in West or whether you're in East, and you can take one of their names and make them little gift packages along the way, which would be amazing. Okay, I think I've accomplished what I needed to accomplish and stalled as long as I can stall, so I'm going to release you. Go in peace. Have a great week. If you need prayer, come up here. We'd love to have prayer partners pray for you.